yesterday we had a little gathering at Lorraine's house for Peter had called us, and of course Dee spoiled us with I don't know, I would call them giant tacos. They were awesome. And she, of course, was very excited. Peter had told her that, you know, she likes to have surprises, but not too much anyway. But she had a good time yesterday. The food was very good. We got spoiled. And to God be the glory. And in some of our conversation, we were reminiscing about Children of Light, the prayer group that we started back in 1977. That was God's doing. And of course, I don't ever look back. There were challenges, there were difficulties, all kinds of, let's say, ups and downs and multiples of levels. But the sweetest part of all that was many were born again. Many were filled with the Holy Spirit, and it transformed an average Catholic church into a Holy Ghost church for quite a while. The impact created all kinds of challenges. So last night, as I was pondering about, you know, some of our conversations, I said, Lord, you know, we're not children anymore. Okay? And the House of Prayer was birthed in Israel 21 years ago. But I didn't know. So things happen that you don't understand at the time that it's happening. Later on, you look back and you start seeing in between the forest what God was trying to do. And I was reminded that the commission, Bob Arnold used to get on my case when we first started to form. Well, what is going to be our mission statement? Can we need a mission statement? Come on now, you're going to come up with something. And it was that kind of a dramatic, you know, you got to do this because, of course, it's his background. So I said, well, the more, and we did this for weeks and weeks, okay? Every time we met, he was on my case. I said, Bob, we've had enough baby Christians. We've had enough children that are Christians. I said, we need adults, adult Christians, mature men and women of God. Oh, so that's it. That's fine. So we graduated from Children of Light to Sons of Light. Now, Sons and Daughters of Light. And as I pondered some of that, I said, well, you know, before you become an adult, you're a teenager. And teenage years are struggling years because I'm watching my 13-year-old great-granddaughter. She was at the house for the day the other day. For a little while, she's a little girl and plays with her sister and the dolls. And then she's on her phone with her friends and she's a young woman. So, you know, you can see the transition. It goes switching back and forth, etc. Because you can fill in the blanks. And the Lord, you know, years back told me, you know, every single decision that Jesus made, he made them with the approval of the Father. Because he saw what the Father was doing, which are visions, or he heard what the Holy Spirit told him to do, which is a word of knowledge. He didn't act and react on his own. And you can verify that in John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Well, when that came into my life, that was in the early 80s or middle 80s, that I realized that I was a baby Christian, that it was time to grow up, and I didn't know how to do that. I was like the teenager, back and forth, back and forth, switching from childlike behavior to young adult behavior in Christ. Does that make sense? So a major man of God came into my life at that time, and it's a long story, and I'm not going to go there. But he awakened the truth of maturing men and women in God. Well, you know, that was a nice lesson, but I didn't like what it did. Because now it put me in the trunk and put him in the driver's seat. Meaning God had to approve of my choices. He had to confirm what he wanted from me. And of course, I found that I was very rebellious. I found that I had attitude when I didn't get my way. Just like a typical teenager. Attitude was showing up more than I wanted. Bad choices showed up more than I would have liked. The fruits, of course, would show me who was in charge when I made the decision and followed the decision. So the scripture says, by the fruits you shall know. Well, that includes if you're on a mature level, or if you're on the baby department, like a child of light, or if you're in the teenage department swinging from one choice level to the other. Am I in the mature department? Are you in the mature department? Only God knows. But I can tell you that you can tell by the fruit, by the end result, if it was God, or if it was a little bit of both, or if it was you, because your attitude and your reactions are going to be carnal. They're either going to be anger, or they're going to be disappointment, or there's going to be an exciting joy that doesn't last. So now you're looking at your own emotions as a guidepost. And when you see that, you say, well, I think I had a mixture. And that season can be quite long. I've seen people that are in their 60s and 80s, and they're just like children. I've seen people that are in their 20s, that are acting more adult in Christ than people who have been around in the church for years and years and accomplish what? Because their fruit, the end result of what they are doing and who they are pleasing, is not the Lord. So what do we do with that? Be yourself. Be obedient. Learn from your experience. Be conscious of you trying to do it on your own is never going to work. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross. You cannot change yourself except to be under an anointing of flesh. Because flesh will produce what? Flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So, as I was pondering on this last night, one day this week I got a chance to listen to a video. And it sparked something in me. You know how sometimes there's a little explosion that takes place, okay? And this gentleman was teaching. And he said, did you ever realize who the Holy Spirit really is? And of course, you know, we all have different varying teachers that give different opinions about the Holy Spirit. But he quoted that, you know, the Lord said, I must depart so that the Holy Spirit can come. Okay? But then he gave an incredible coordinate that was awesome. He said, when you look at the fine print and you read between the lines, it's really the Spirit of Jesus that's in the earth. It's the Spirit of Jesus that's in the earth that was sent. Okay. So it's really Jesus' other self. And that was he quoted. Jesus' other self is the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh my God. Because again, you know that the Holy Spirit, if you see him, he has no face. You'll never see the face of the Holy Spirit. He's really the Father and the Son Spirit alive in us in seed form. And I thought, oh my God, that is so cool. Because Jesus' other self was also visible in the times of Abraham. When the three showed up at Abraham's front yard in front of the tent, there were three. Correct? Abraham fed them lunch. They stayed, all three of them. Three individual, yet one God. Father, Son, and Spirit. Everything that the Son is, the Father within him is the same. They're coordinated. They're tied together. And so that really, when he made that comment, I said, Lord, that's cool. That is so cool. Because it's showing you that Jesus had in him the Spirit of the Father. So now you've got the Spirit of the Father released through Jesus back into the earth, which is really Jesus's other self. Producing what? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Because without the Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when he got baptized, what have you got? An average young man. Very educated, very smart. But a carpenter, not a diplomat, not a high priest in the order of Aaron, none of the political, quote, quote, positions were on him. He was a carpenter. When you and I work with carpenters, are we working with the elite? I used to deliver lumber to the carpenters. They weren't elite. They were average. Who did he choose to mature in the first 12 apostles? Fisherman? A tax collector, which would have been like a mafia leader today. You know, you charge what you can. I mean, you know, you and I would never choose these kind of guys. We would choose the ones that have got a reputation and a couple of 3 degrees, right? And if they were stealing from you, you'd say, fired! I wouldn't have kept Judas on my team. But he did. You know, so that takes a mature choice to allow someone to continue stealing from you until he fully betrays you. That's a stab in the back that you won't forget. So if you and I get stabbed, and I have been, and I know there's quite a few others that have had horrible experiences with close relationships, and they turned against you. And when you thought they were your friend, and you worked with them, and you gave your best, sometimes for years, that stab in the back is going to do more damage than if it's a partial relationship. So realize what, you know, maturity will produce. When Jesus is presented with Judas's choice, he said, go do quickly what you've decided. He didn't say what you've been ordained to do, or what you got to download from the Father to do. Go do quickly what you've decided. Which part of him or which part of Judas was in the control room? Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't think he was even close to teenage at that point in his walk with God. But Jesus didn't argue with him. Jesus didn't try to straighten him out. So, you know, there are times that you're going to have people in your life that are intended of God to bring you to your knees. And I've had that. And they're designed for you and me to pass the test of not overdoing and listening to other people's opinions in order for you to have a walk with God. You need to have that individual walk with the one who actually set you free from all bondage and gave you the ability to walk in higher realms than you've ever walked before. So Jesus's other self is working inside of each of us. And when we take that into consideration, that's the beginning of maturity, because you double check. You take a chance and say, okay, God, I'm going to do this because you said to do it, not because I get a good idea out of it or a good feeling out of it. I asked the Lord this morning what he wanted, and he said, would you trust me to just release what's in you? Well, that could be pretty scary, because what's in me is a lot in different ways. And I'm not separating myself from any one of you. What I am saying is I've seen now, watching and rehearsing what we were talking about yesterday, and how, you know, we did our best at that time. And it was definitely, you know, God doing, because you see the fruit of today. One of the comments that came out of Lorraine, who is 95 or 94, you know, she said, I don't know if I'll be able to come today, meaning to church today. I said, Lorraine, you don't have to answer to me. You answer to the one, and you do what you can do. And if you can't, you can't. And if you can't, it's still okay. It is not something that is compulsory. You're not going to get penalized. You're not going to be told, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to go there. I said, you be obedient.